Good morning. You're listening to Faith in Crisis, a half-hour show produced by the City Mission for the 2018 holiday season to discuss urgent and critical needs of people experiencing crisis in Cleveland. I'm your host, Caroline Stoltzfus. Today I have our first guest of our 1220 Faith in Crisis episodes for this 2018 season, and I'll go ahead and let her introduce herself. Some of you might already be familiar because she's out at events or coordinating with you on the back end. So why don't you go ahead, Jamie, and talk about yourself, what your role is, and how long you've been at the mission.
Thank you, Caroline. My name is Jamie Buxton, and I am the Internship and Volunteer Services Supervisor at the City Mission. I've been in this role just over 2 years, but been working at the mission for over 13 years. And so this was my first real job, and I just love what I have the opportunity to do and to serve the men, women, and children at the City Mission. But what I love about my role in volunteering is meeting the friends of the City Mission and helping them find the needs that we have and putting their resources to help meet the needs that we have. And so getting to work with the community, helping them and educating them on what the City Mission does, and then helping them join us in our efforts is the best thing that I get to do. I often say that I am a matchmaker because I want to know personally the volunteers that come to us, understand what excites them, and then help them find just the right niche at the City Mission.
Well, I know we're so grateful to have you here. You do a ton of work, and it's been a whirlwind year for the mission in general, and I think especially in your department. Can you talk about some of the changes, some of the big successes? What has happened this year in volunteer services?
Absolutely. We've had a great year and just so incredibly grateful for the groups and the individuals that have come to us throughout this year to bless the families and the men that we have the opportunity to serve. So in this year alone, we've had over 26,000 volunteer hours. And Caroline, that's huge for us. And it makes a huge impact financially for the mission too, because if we were to pay for those services, it will be well over $500,000. And so we just continually are so grateful, and we're just so happy to be able to collaborate with churches, local organizations, and the community at large to be part of what it is that we're doing here. I think that's the most important thing, is that the more people who understand what we're about and what we're doing, the better for us, and the better for the people that come to us and need our help.
And I think for people who know the mission well, it's no surprise to them that we are a faith-based, gospel-centered organization. We don't try to hide that in anything we do, and I think you're really good at explaining that, and no matter what venue you're in, whether that be a secular corporation that you're speaking with or at a church. So could you talk about why it's important from a biblical perspective to be in some sort of service or volunteer role, as people can be?
Absolutely. And like you said, I'm going to answer that as a Christian organization and as a Christian myself. But you don't need to be a Christian to come serve with us. And I want that to be heard right away. We will take anyone to come and help us in certain capacities. But obviously, when it comes to the deep Bible teaching and mentorship and role modeling, we're going to open that up to our Christian friends. But we have many meal providing groups and people who work in our library and things like that that don't feel called, but they do feel called to a wanting to be committed in their city or in their community. And so we are grateful for that. But I think the Bible is pretty clear. I mean, in the Great Commission especially, go and make disciples. That's why we exist at the City Mission, is to bring people to a transforming understanding of who Christ is and how that relates to their lives. And so that is a huge part of why we need volunteers. And we can't do that alone. I mean, that's no easy task, is sharing the gospel and sharing our testimonies. And so the more people on our team confessing who Christ is and what he's done for their life makes a huge impact on the men and the women and the children in their understanding of who Christ really is. And so it is imperative as believers that we jump on this boat together to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to see lives transformed by Jesus himself.
Yeah, that's great. And I know whenever I'm out in the community, whether I'm talking to somebody I met in the line at the grocery store or at the gym or any of those places, and they learn that I work at the City Mission, they say, oh, I volunteered there when I was a kid with my mom and dad. And, you know, I have such fondness in my heart for the City Mission. But beyond that, what do you hope that people really glean from their time as a volunteer at the City Mission?
Well, I think I'm most passionate about people understanding that the families that come to us, the moms, the children, the men, are human beings just like us. You know, although I may phrase it differently to the different venues that I'm in, I think that's the biggest thing I want people to come away with, that these are real life individuals that have hearts and souls just like you and me. And I think so many different ways of looking at homelessness, and I'm going to say quote unquote homelessness because you can't see my fingers, but I think is so important that there's such a stigma, and I really want, when someone comes to volunteer or has a day at the mission or spends significant amount of time at the City Mission, that they walk away saying, wow, they're just like me. And I think that's so important for us to understand. And then it changes how we want to minister and how we relate to the individuals. And so I think that's the most important thing. I think one of my favorite stories from this past year in thinking about the answer to that is we have a group that meets on a monthly basis, and it's something I'm passionate about because I'm a mom of young children. And because I've worked at the mission since I started having babies, it became really evident to me how many moms want to engage their children in meaningful service in their community. And so we started a group about 2 years ago now called Moms with a Mission. And we meet on a monthly basis for 1 hour, and we just do something that relates to the mission. So tomorrow we'll be meeting and doing our Thanksgiving Moms with a Mission, where we're just decorating placemats that will bless the men here at Crossroads. But through doing Moms with a Mission, I met a woman named Meredith, and she's been coming since day one, and she has just fallen in love with the women and the children, and mostly the moms, because she's also a mom, and she just created such a great rapport with the women. And Meredith just didn't want to stop at coming once a month. And so she's passionate about aerobic exercise, and she's passionate about serving the Lord. And so she actually flew all the way to Arizona to get trained in a program, and now comes on a weekly basis and does gospel-centered aerobics. They're jamming out to Christian music, but she's sharing the gospel. She's talking about healthy eating. She's talking about coping with the stresses of motherhood and being a woman. And she has created such a wonderful foundation for the women at Laura's home, in them understanding, because they're already in the programming, and so they're hearing the gospel, but they're here, they are seeing this woman live it out, and she's living out being a faithful follower of Christ, being a woman, being a wife, and being a mom to her children. And so just what a great example she is, and just love how she was able to see a need, and she felt so called and so enthusiastic to serve, and then to see it come full circle. So a story like Meredith, and how she fell in love with the women and the children, and then combined that with the things she's excited about, just couldn't be a better example of what we hope for someone as they come to volunteer at the mission.
Yeah, I was blessed enough to be a part of the running group that ran at Laura's home this spring, and we trained for a 5K with some of the ladies, and the impact that fitness had on them was truly incredible. The fact that they could have the time to commit to something that was for them, but also such a great example for their kids. And just to finish something too, something new that they had never done before, that was awesome. And so, yeah, you can certainly see the impact of fitness, but also the relationship mm-hmm. building and how critical that is to just someone's confidence that they can be cared for and loved, and that everything they do has a connection to who Jesus is and how mm-hmm. he's transforming their lives. And so could you talk more about other ways that people might build relationships with clients at Laura's home or Crossroads, and the impact that has on really everybody here?
Right. So absolutely. We have so many different ways of volunteering. So when you kind of look at our menu of options, we have availability for volunteers to come in just once. They can come in with a group or as an individual and just serve one time. Or they can come, you know, a couple of days a week based on their availability. And I think that's the key, though, Caroline. It is based on their availability. When someone comes to me, they say, oh, I might be a little afraid to sign up for this. I work with the individual to be able to accommodate what their schedule can handle. But so, yeah, we can have a group that may come in. And one of the greatest ways I like to engage corporate groups is to come in, and you can absolutely do like a day in facilities. But one of our greatest needs always is to help engage our kids when they're out of school. So of course we have a full-time staff, but having groups come in to help bring more excitement and fun really does benefit our staff greatly. It kind of re-energizes them, gets them excited about the opportunity that they have to work with our kids. It gets our kids excited because they're meeting new people. They're understanding different groups. So today we actually have a sorority at Laura's home, and they've come a couple of times, and they just bring fun crafts and games and really have a great time with the kids. Over the summer, though, we had one of my favorite teams came from one of my favorite teams came from Ford Marketing, and they took the Adopt a Day just kind of by the reins and ran with it. They planned snacks, they planned a craft, and they got to talk about what they love, which is Ford. And so everything that they did was inspiring to the kids, helped them think about possibly a career, helped them understand cars and how they work. I mean, they just sort of enveloped exactly what we had hope an Adopt a Day will do. You know, it was a blessing to our staff. It was fun for our kids. And I'm quite sure that they'll come back again because they engaged at such a high level with the families, especially for just a one-time day activity. They really were able to engage moms and the kids. And I think that's what makes those kind of opportunities unique. But it is also dependent on the volunteer to get excited and come prepared. But not every group has to do that, nor do they have, you know, the time to kind of invest that way. So we do have lots of opportunities to look at and say, what's the best fit for you and your group? I think another one of my favorite stories of the year is one of the individuals that came to one of our volunteer introductions and came through the whole application process and said, I really want your help in finding just the right spot for me. And so this individual, she came to me and we had a long talk about why she wanted to volunteer, and came to find out that she suffers from a chronic illness that doesn't allow her the opportunity to work full time. But she has a master's in social work. She's knowledgeable about different community resources, and she just loves helping women who are in crisis. And so we found a spot for her. She works twice a week at our front desk, and she answers the phones like she's the pro that's worked at the mission for 20 years. And what she loves about that opportunity at the front desk is to meet the women, understand where they're coming from, and then she has the opportunity to love them, encourage them, and know their story. So she's really, she's filling a huge need for us, which is basically we need help at that front desk because it is the busiest place in all of Laura's home and at Crossroads. So she's filling a major need for us, but I think she's getting way more out of it than even we're benefiting from. And that's saying a lot because we do benefit, but she's finding a spot where she gets to use what God has given her, which is the passion to serve. She has the knowledge and the education to go along with it. And then to be able to be used, I know means so much to her. And so grateful for volunteers like her that come. She comes twice a week, but we have many that come once or twice a month or even just once a week. And so just so thankful to not just be able to fill the needs that we have at the mission, but to help brothers and sisters in Christ fill what God has gifted them to do. So right again, back to that matchmaking. Just, I love the feeling that it is to help someone find kind of their niche at the city mission and to use their gifts and talents to benefit the men, women, and children and to serve the Lord.
Do you have any examples from Crossroads about new programs that are happening or volunteers that have really made an impact there?
Absolutely. You know, Caroline, I often joke that 90% of the calls are someone who wants to come and do something at Laura's home, which is great. I love the women and the children, but we do have over 100 men that we serve at Crossroads, and there are great needs for volunteers to be helping there. So we do. We have a faith and finances program that is happening now on Mondays from 10 to 11:30. We're looking for men and women that are passionate about having a budget and helping our men understand from a biblical perspective all the way to a practical understanding of how important that is for them to be successful. We have lots of opportunities to have groups come in and just provide an evening of fun or even a special worship night or something like that, something engaging for the men. We have, you know, groups that will come in and watch Cavs or Indians or Browns games, just bring a few snacks and fellowship with the men. I think that's so important to the men. For a lot of the reasons I've already kind of described. First, that they want to feel like a human being, loved and cared about as an individual. And so many of our men haven't felt like that in quite some time. And so to have groups come in and just bring some baked goods and want to have a conversation or play a game of chess is very, very meaningful and fun. And secondly, so important that we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are doing that, because you're only re-emphasizing what they're learning in chapel. And so we don't necessarily need someone to come in and preach. We need someone to come in and be the gospel as they speak to the men at Crossroads. But we do have lots of opportunities for those kind of things. Being in our resource center, helping men understand Microsoft Word and set up email accounts. You know, if any of those things make your heart beat fast, please give me a call. And we'd love to talk to you about the opportunities that we have to come alongside the men at Crossroads as well.
I think it can definitely be intimidating in any sort of relationship where you don't know someone. There might be a little bit of anxiety about, you know, meeting a stranger. How am I going to interact with them? And that's just true across the board, no matter what setting we're in. But I think a lot of us find, whether we're in our neighborhood or in a service opportunity or at work, once the conversation starts, it's easy. We're all just people. We all want to build relationships and get to know one another and really learn from each other. So, yeah. I'm glad that the city mission makes it so hands-on to be able to do that. You're not just showing up, you know, serving some food and then leaving. You're really here to build relationships and be Christ to the people around you. So thank you for making that a part of the job.
Yeah. And I guess this is an appropriate time to just kind of talk about what the volunteer process kind of looks like, because that's exactly, we want you to feel educated and empowered when you come to the city mission for the first time. And so that is part of what my job is and the job of my department. And so what we do as part of the volunteer process is the first thing we'd like you to do is to attend a prospective volunteer introduction. We have one of those almost every month. Unfortunately, there's not one in December, but there is one this Saturday, November 17th. It's at 10 a.m. at Laura's home, but it's a 1 hour, basically an orientation, just fully understanding who the city mission is, what is Laura's home, Crossroads, what is our inmate outreach services program, and what are the needs in those areas. And so we try to make that as informational and as easy as we possibly can. So it's 1 hour to come and understand that. When you leave that meeting, you'll leave with the link to our online application. It's just a simple, basic form that you're going to fill out online, and then we follow up with you based on what it is you want to do. And so the application process obviously looks different for someone who wants to come in on a one-time basis and serve one meal versus someone who wants to come in and work with our kids on a weekly basis. So it does differentiate a little bit, but it all starts with that same volunteer introduction. And so we'd love to have people join us. They can certainly check that out on our website at www.thecitymission.org/volunteer. And we have all of the upcoming prospective volunteer introductions through June of 2019. And so we would love to have people come and be part of that. After the application process, we do have you meet with the manager of the area or the supervisor of the area that you're going to work in. And so that you're going to know that person, you're going to already have had a tour of the facility and have a basic understanding of what that department needs. And so you'll come in and meet with them. And then after that is when we'll start scheduling you. And so I think that's we're unique in that way, so that our volunteers are coming in. Like I said, you feel educated, you feel empowered, and you know exactly what it is you're going to do. And I think that's so important to retain volunteers, so that it's always nice to know what your expectations are going to be. And then also our department can understand what your expectations are for what you want out of this volunteer experience. And hopefully we're going to marry those two things into a great opportunity for you as an individual.
I think the experience a lot of people are looking for is more of the traditional, you know, come serve a meal on Thanksgiving or Christmas, but we're usually full months in advance for that sort of opportunity. What do you want people to know about that, and why we don't have a ton of roles or ways to do that on specific holidays?
Absolutely. I think you're right, Caroline. We do. We get inundated with phone calls and inquiries this time of year, but you're correct. We do have a church that has served Thanksgiving meal for both Laura's home and Crossroads for many years. And they actually re-up that the day after Thanksgiving every year to make sure that they have that date secured. So we don't have a great need on Thanksgiving. We do have a few opportunities the days surrounding the holidays to come in and assist our staff. One of the great ways a group can come in and serve the mission is to provide a meal. So we don't have a lot of opportunities to come in and just help serve a meal, but we do have opportunities for providing, which means you get together, your small group, your company, whatever it may be, and put some money together, connect with me, and you actually provide a meal, whether it's coming with pizza that you bought from down the street, or, you know, going to great lengths to prepare that meal and then coming in and serving it. That's a big commitment. So it makes it very difficult for individuals that are just kind of coming in. So call your friends now and reserve a spot in 2019 so that you can be right around those holiday times. And we'd love to have your support then. Also, because of that, we do have our annual Christmas fair. I kind of opened the floodgates on the availability for volunteers on that day because I know how many people want to be engaged at Christmas time. And so if you'd like to check out how you can be involved at Laura's home on Saturday, December 15th, you can go to www.thecitymission.org/Christmas-fair. And we have lots of opportunities there to be part of what has become as our annual tradition, and it's a great day, and we'll have over 100 volunteers that day. So there are spots still open, but they are filling up quickly. So don't hesitate to visit that website very, very soon and reserve your spot to be part of that event.
I know, it really is a blast. The kids are loving it. They get to pick out presents for their moms, and they get to interact with different volunteers, and it's just such a beautiful time, fun and games and food and everything you could want at Christmas. So going back to those regular volunteer opportunities throughout the years, what are the most urgent needs, and why is it so critical that we fill them? Because I think it's important for people to understand that the city mission is about breaking the cycle of poverty, and every day is so important for recovery for these children, these men and women. Mm-hmm. So why is it important that these needs are met now?
Yes. So there are lots of opportunities that need immediate attention, and I think it's so important because we are then part of the process of educating and helping you know, in whatever specific area it is, to be able to overcome that barrier for the individual that we're talking about. And when I talk about barriers, I mean those things that are stacking up against the men, women, and children that we serve to be able to be successful in their communities. And so for Crossroads, that looks like that faith and finances mentor that I talked about. We have opportunities on Mondays and Wednesdays in our resource center to come alongside the men and help them establish email accounts, write resumes, and understand how to search for a job online. At Laura's home, we'd like to have our library open more, but to have the library open more means that we need someone who's good with kids and who's excited about reading. We'd also like to have some evening hours in our resource center at Laura's home, but if we have some programming in the evening, it means we need childcare in the evenings. And so that requires two different kinds of volunteers at different levels of engagement. Our Pathways program, that's our ministry to school-age children. We have over 65 school-age children at Laura's home, and so we want to engage them on a more individual level. So the more people that we have as part of our homework club that meets Monday through Friday, 3 to 5, participating in our teen club, which is evenings, 7:30 to 8:30, and even hopefully getting a mentoring program off and running this next year is on our to-do list. So we need lots of individuals that are passionate about loving kids and coming alongside them in their time of crisis and helping to establish a firm foundation on who Christ is, and then helping to meet the expectations that exist in school and just in their day-to-day lives. And so there's lots of opportunities for those ongoing engagements. And then, of course, like I said before, the adopt-a-days are really important to us. And so that's a great way to get your company, your small group, your church group, whatever it may be, to be part of one of those as well. So all of those are listed on our website. In fact, we actually have a menu of opportunities that spell out what the need is and when the need is for. And hopefully, anyone who might be interested in one of those things would find most of their answers online.
Thanks, Jamie. And our time is coming to a close here. So why don't we end with just, if you have anything to say to any of your current volunteers that are listening, what would that be? How would you thank them or encourage them in their service?
Wow, that's a great question. I think that most important thing that I want to say to our volunteers is thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I truly love the women, the men, and the children at the City Mission, but I can't do it alone, and we as a staff can't do it alone. And so what you do means more to us than you can ever imagine, because it multiplies the amount of times our kids are being cared for, being told they're loved. You're multiplying the amount of times the gospel is reiterated to the men and to the women, and just so incredibly grateful for you continuing to come and meet whatever need there is that given day at the mission. So thank you so very much.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for your time, Jamie. We're really grateful for what you do at the mission and for all of the volunteers that are serving with us. Again, if you want to get involved, you can go to www.thecitymission.org/volunteer. If you're interested in the Moms with a Mission program that Jamie mentioned, they do have a meeting tomorrow, so hurry up and sign up at www.thecitymission.org/moms. And you can listen to us again next week at 10:30 on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, on the way to Grandma's. Hear why City Mission staff is thankful to be working here. We hope you all have a great day, and we will be back soon with more episodes of Faith in Crisis.